Well, 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 good morning, good morning, good morning, y'all. So good to be here with you. Good to be gathered in the name of the Lord to worship God together. Good to come home. How about Riley Carver last week? Didn't he do a great job coming over? And so, yeah, it's really cool, man. I'm thankful for the network of preachers that we have and how we can kind of, you know, move back and forth from different churches and help each other out. And so, anyway, glad you're here today. I am glad to be here today. How many of you felt that cool air this morning when you got up? I love this time of year. I don't think it's a secret. If you know me, if you've been to church here much, known me long, you know we love this time of year when it starts to turn fall, you know. And so September through December, that's the time when church is the most excited. You get back into a routine. You've come out of the summer slump. You hadn't been here very much. You get back in a routine. You start coming to church more. And so I love that. I love building. Who don't love setting something on fire out at your house, y'all? Like, this is the time of year you can build a fire outside and you can gather around there. You can drink coffee. You can get the kids out there, roast marshmallows. Good food, good memories. I just have great memories of fall, y'all. And so I love it. And so today, as we start, I want to share with you a particular memory that I have from Bethel Assembly. This particular memory is probably about 18 years ago. The biggest majority of you didn't even know anything about Bethel. You weren't coming to church down there then. It was the little old brick church. I see some of you that were there. Little old brick church down there. Let me tell you something, y'all. It was rough, boy. You could get that thing full, and it did not matter how low you turn those air conditioners in summer, by the time you filled it up, we was all sweated down in church down there. We would go to the back, and we had fellowship times in the back. All we had were swamp coolers in the back. Do y'all even know what a swamp cooler is? Like, not a good air conditioner, but I'm telling you that God forged some relationships and God started something down there that has just carried over for 21 years to down here. But we had this special memory. We didn't have this many people. We were needing some money. I don't remember what we were trying to do. We were probably trying to upgrade our sound system because sound systems are always problems. So we're trying to raise some money. So we had an old bake sale. Old-fashioned bake sale. And I never forget, we had this little old lady. Her name was Doris Hallmark. She was about that tall right there, and she had gray hair that was that tall. You know her family's here. She ratted that stuff up. She sprayed Aquanet all over it like it. She went to the beauty shop once a week, whether she needed it or not, and she slept with her panties on her head so it wouldn't mess her hair up. I'm telling you, Doris Hallmark, sweetest thing ever, boy. She was a prayer warrior. Amen. Great memories. You needed some prayer, you called Doris Hallmark. You needed some prayer, Doris Hallmark had her a Bible buddy. I'm talking about the gold. Some of y'all, the gold is still all around the edges of your Bible. She can have one about 6 months and the gold wore off, buddy. Because she was praying. She would go in that room, get in that closet, shut that door, and she'd pray till heaven came down. But she made a pecan pie. She had the most uniform pecans ever. She chopped them in one of them choppers, and she made everybody loved her pecan pie. And then there was Cassandra Hicks from Looters. She made lemon meringue pie. It was the prettiest meringue I've ever seen. Big peaks, always toasted just right. And then Florence Ridenour, bless her old hillbilly heart. She made peach cobbler, and it always had that lattice work, you know, perfectly on top right there. But there's one pie that I remember more than any of those other pies. This lady named Stephanie Brandon, I used to come to church here. She made this pie, and I've got to read it to you. Frozen coconut pecan layered caramel whipped cream pie. I mean, I'm talking about it would give you diabetes, y'all. It has so much sugar in it. But I mean, everybody loved to get that caramel drizzled over the top and that coconut toasted just right. And so we're having this fundraiser that day. And Rodney Dunham, he's the auctioneer from over at Hamlin. We said, Rodney, I seen a picture of him the other day. Rodney, you twice the man now you were back then. I'm just saying. Rodney came to auction off for us, and it came time to auction off Stephanie Brandon's frozen coconut, pecan, layered caramel, whipped cream pie, and Will Robinson, our very own Will Robinson, Gigi's husband, who works in the sound booth back there. And, dude, you twice the man now you was then, too, just saying. And your hair had some color back then. There's a picture, though, and I wish I could find it. We start to auction it off, and Will stands up. Rodney, he's giving her this, and Will Robinson stands up, and he goes like this. To signify, like, you bid all you want to bid, but, buddy, at the end of the day, it's mine. That pie is going home with me. And everybody else bidding, and Will just like this, Rodney, like, hey, 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 hey. At the end of the day, $600, Will Robinson took that pie home that day. I ain't lying. The epic moment in Bethel history right there, y'all. I tell you that story because I want us to take a look at a story in the Bible that has a parallel. I want us to look at a story in the Bible today that's much like that story. It's really a moving story. It's really a story that touches my heart every time that I read about it. It's a story that's pretty well unknown. It's a story that's pretty well overlooked. It's the story of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea and Gomer. And so it's found in the Old Testament. Most of us know about Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah in the belly of the whale. Hosea is sandwiched in between those two books of the Bible. Let me ask you just for reference today, how many of you have ever read the story of Hosea and Gomer or heard it preached on or taught about? Let me see. Raise your hands if you have. That's what I thought. They're just probably, 8 or 10% of you. But here's the story. So you need to know Hosea, man of God. Hosea, prophet of God. He's a preacher. He's living the life. He's standing up for God in the middle of a really tough time. And here's how the story's going to start out. Hosea 1:2. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea. Now, I read you that because I want you to see God is using Hosea. God is using him. God is speaking through him. Hosea, he's preaching. Hosea, he's prophesying. Hosea, he's praying. He is being used by God. So let's take a quick time out. Let's look and see what the state of the nation is at this time. When Hosea is preaching, what does the nation of Israel look like? I'm telling you, it looked a whole lot like America looks today. It looked a little bit rough. God's people, God's chosen people, the Israelites, they are worshiping other gods. They're living selfishly. They're living in sin. They're chasing their own feelings. They have basically turned their backs on God, and they've chosen to believe untruth over the truth. But here's what I love about Hosea. Hosea makes no excuses. Hosea makes no excuses. He says, I'm not going to blend in with the world. I'm not going to try to fit into culture. I'm not going to try to water down the truth. Hosea says, I am God's man, and I am going to stand in the midst of a crooked generation and shine the light of truth. Dear God, if there ever was a time that God needed his sons and daughters to stand on the word of God and shine the light of Jesus Christ and live a life based on the truth of the word of God, it is right now. Hosea stands up. Now we're going to see God's using Hosea. God's speaking through Hosea. Now God is fixing to ask Hosea to do something that is hashtag cray cray. Come on, somebody. Cray cray. Totally crazy. Totally blows the religious mindset out of the water. Totally blows logic out of water. But I want us to see what God says to Hosea. Hosea 1, 2 through 3. The Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Say what? Did y'all pick up on that? I didn't hear you gasp, because when I read the story that the man of God was told to go marry a whore, I'm like, say what? That don't make no sense. That doesn't work. It's crazy. He says, go marry a prostitute, go marry a hooker, go marry a harlot, go marry a whore. That just seems crazy. Can I hear a good amen? That just doesn't seem to make sense. But let me tell you something. If you and I want to live a life of no excuses, If you and I say, you know what, no excuses, God, I'm going to be all that I can be, I'm going to do all that I can do, I'm going to glorify you in everything. Can I tell you how that starts? Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Just be obedient to God. Hosea probably doesn't understand this. Hosea, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to him. This is not probably his dream growing up, but he is obedient to the voice of God. Can I just tell you, be obedient to God. If you don't get anything else from this message, I believe that you have the ability to hear from God because you are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture know his voice and they hear his voice. And I am convinced that every single solitary one of us in this place, God is speaking to you. You're at a crossroads. You're trying to figure something out. You're full of depression. I'm telling you right now, just be obedient to what God is asking you to do. Just be obedient. Hosea goes down to the whorehouse, picks out Gomer, comes home, marries her. Now, let's just be real. Let's talk about this. What does that look like? Can you imagine the rumors in their community? What is Hosea doing with her? I'm not going to his church anymore. I'm going to go to the Baptist church because he's. Can you imagine the talk within the church? Because church folk can get vicious and gossip sometimes. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? Hosea takes her as his own. He marries her. They fall in love, and they have three kids together. Wow. Wow, they have three kids together. They are LTD, baby. They are living the dream right now. Now it's the pastor. Now it's the pastor's wife. Now it's three kids that are in church. Everything seems to be going good. They have this family. They're camping together in the fall. They're building fires. They're roasting marshmallows. They're eating meals together. It's this epic picture of family the way God intended for it to be. Can I just tell you something? It's the epic picture of family the way God intended for it to be. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy hates epic family that is created the way God intended for it to be. One man, one woman, having children, raising them up according to the biblical standards. The enemy hates that kind of family because even the enemy knows that that kind of family is what will change our world. And the enemy will stop at nothing. Listen to me. Look. The enemy will stop at nothing to destroy your family. The enemy will stop at nothing to destroy your marriage, to destroy the relationship with your children. The enemy will stop at nothing. We can never get lazy. We can never get lax. We can never say, I've been married 25 years, so I got it. The enemy is always trying to tear down family. If you don't believe that, look at our country right now. Look at the attack on family. The next thing we see is a horrible tragedy. Horrible, horrible tragedy. The enemy comes in, and watch what happens next. Hosea 2:5. For their mother played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. What happens? Gomer leaves her husband. Gomer leaves her children, she leaves her home, she leaves her church, and she returns back to her old lifestyle of whoredom. Now, before you get too bad there and judge Ogomer on this, Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog returns to his own vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Before we judge Ogomer, I wonder how many of us have come to Christ, have lived in the truth, and then somehow we let our guard down and somehow we quit fighting the fight and we slip back and we return to our own vomit as well. It's a wreck, y'all. It's a mess. She says, I'm going to chase the thrill of being wined and dined. I'm going to chase the thrill of wearing these fancy clothes and big parties and fancy meals. She goes back to her old life. Now, can you imagine? Think with me. Not just the story that we're reading. Can you imagine how this wrecked her family? Can you imagine how the rejection that Hosea felt? Can you imagine what it's like for Hosea to go to church and stand up and preach knowing that his wife has left him and his kids have cried themselves to sleep? Can you imagine the pain and the depression and the darkness? Can you imagine what it's like for her three kids who were used to their mama taking them and tucking them in the bed at night? Can you imagine that mama used to take them and tuck them into the bed and teach them how to pray? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Can you imagine those children who are used to waking up in the morning to the smell of their mother's perfume and breakfast cooking in the kitchen? Can you imagine how wrecked their life is? Can you imagine how wrecked the church is? Pain, suffering, hurt. What do you do? How do you move on? Some of you may be here today and you're in a tragic situation. What do I do, Cody? How do I move on? I don't know what to do. I'm lost. This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm fixing to tell you what you got to do to move on. God tells Hosea what to do to move on. God tells Hosea. Hosea says to God, God, what can I do? What should I do in this situation? Another quick timeout. Look at me. Look. Did you know if you and I are facing a tough situation, if we will ask God, if we will be patient, and if we will seek his counsel, he will always show us what we need to do that will glorify him, that we can make it through till the end. He'll always do it. Every time. That's what God does. But we have to ask, and then sometimes we have to be patient in the waiting. I suck at that, just tell you right off the bat. I usually, when I err and when I make a mistake, it's because I'm not patient with God and I don't wait. I just jump and go do something because I'm a guy of action, and oftentimes I'll get it wrong and I'll look back and I'll go, well, if I would have just been patient, God would have showed me his way. Now, Carter and Sweetwater, he misses on the other end. He's too busy waiting. He's being too patient. And God's already done something, and Carter's still waiting on him. So we all have these tendencies to, but here's the thing. If you will ask God today, look at me, look. If you will say, God, help me. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your direction. God, would you show me what to do? And then if you will just be patient and get in a place where you're quiet and you can hear God, he will show you what to do and which way to go. Because here's the deal. When he shows us, though, here's the tough part. When he shows us what to do, we may not always like what he tells us to do. We may not always like it. It may not always be the easy way out. It may not always be the popular way out. It may not always be what everyone around us wants us to do, but God's voice should resonate louder in our head than anyone else. Oh, God, can I preach on that right now? Because sometimes God tells us what to do, but the voices, the physical voices that are in our life, they talk us out of doing what God has asked us to do. Sometimes, can I just say this right quick? Moms and dads, if you got kids that are getting up there, I get it, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, let me tell you, they can hear from the voice of God. It doesn't mean that you can't hold them accountable. It doesn't mean that you can't give them some wisdom. But if they choose a path in life that is not what you want, before you go and damper what God is leading them to do, spend some time in prayer and trust them to hear God is going to lead them in their life as well. Whew, y'all got real quiet then, didn't you? Jennifer, she's giving me the evil eye up here on that one. Because here's like what I got to tell you. When God tells us, 2 Samuel 22, 31, when God shows us what to do, as for God, his way's perfect, your way is not. His way's perfect, my way is not. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all them who take refuge in him. He's a shield. He guards them. So, Hosea says, what do I do? I'm fitting to reveal to you what God says to Hosea to do. Hosea said, okay, no excuses. Are you ready? Can I hear a good amen? Hosea 3, 1 through 5. And the Lord said to me, to Hosea, go again and love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Go find Gomer. Yeah, I know she's left. Yeah, I know she's off playing another game. I know she's committing adultery. I know she's sleeping with other men, but go find her, Hosea. Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and an omer and a lecheth of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall no longer play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return, seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come in the fear of the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. God said, go find her. Go find her. Go find your wife. And buy her back and bring her back into your home. Can I just say this right quick? I feel like I need to say this. Absolutely, the scripture says this, that if there is infidelity and unfaithfulness in a relationship and in the covenant of marriage, you have every biblical right to move forward in divorce, but that doesn't mean you have to. I realize that's hard, and I realize that's tough, but maybe as the Lord is moving, the Spirit is moving right now, maybe there's some people in here, and you're in a marriage, and it's gone awry, and it's gone awry, and it's not working like you want it to work, and I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you have a way out, but that does not mean that you have to get out. You have to listen to the voice of Almighty God, and because some of us, God says, stay together, because that's the family that I've called you to. Go buy her back. Hosea goes, okay, no excuses. No excuses. Hosea could have been like this, but Lord, what do you mean go buy her back? She's already quit me. She's already betrayed me. Lord, I don't deserve this. I'm your man. I'm your guy. Like, I've been your prophet. I've been preaching. I've been doing what you asked me to do. I've been obedient for all these years. Why do you want me to go back to that? But Hosea says, no excuses. I'll be obedient. He searches high and low. He goes from village to village, from town to town, and he finds Gomer. It's at a slave auction, sex slave. She, at this point, she's being sold by her pimp, by her madam, whoever she belongs to. At this point, she is used up. At this point, she's wrinkled. At this point, she is tattered and worn out and been abused and mistreated. At this point, she is not worth much in the eyes of the world anymore. She's not worth much at all. But Hosea is on a mission. No excuses. No excuses. The bidding begins on the auction block. The bidding begins. They sell this one. They sell that one. Next thing you know, here comes old Gomer. They put her up there half naked, beaten and abused, standing on the auction block, selling her off as a sex slave. And they begin the deal. And much like Will Robinson stood up that day and raised up his hand saying, I'm buying that caramel pecan pie. It's going home with me. Hosea steps up in front of everyone, raises his hand, and he says, no matter what it costs, she's mine. She belongs to me. God said, buy her back, and I'm going to be obedient. I'm not making excuses. And Hosea buys Gomer back that day. He buys her back. I want you to see something in the scripture. He didn't just whip out a debit card and pay for her. He didn't pay for her in cash. This cost him something. He paid part cash and part barley. He gathered everything he could up to buy her back. Sometimes it costs us to be obedient to God. And dear God, we are in such a culture in the church today that we want to be obedient to God, but we don't want it to cost us nothing. And we don't want to have to give any effort, or we don't want to have to sacrifice anything. It costs to be obedient to God, to live a life of no excuses. He grabs her, buys her back. At the end of the day, she's going home with him. What did he say to her? Come here, you old hussy. Is that what he said? Come here, you worthless thing. I can't believe you did that to me. You know how many nights your children cried themselves to sleep? Do you know what kind of wreck you caused in the church? Did he come at her with condemnation? Did he come at her with a self-righteous attitude? Did he? No, 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 no. He came with her and he said, you know what? You must dwell as mine. He said, you're mine still for many days. You are not going to play the part of the whore anymore or belong to another man, and I'll belong to you. He just wrapped her up with no guilt and said, you're mine. I love you. Wow. How hard is that, y'all? He said, you are mine. You are my wife. You have my name. I have redeemed you. you belong to me. This is such an epic story of obedience, of sacrifice. It's an epic story of redemption. And so here's the parallel for you and I today. You may be sitting up there saying, Cody, what's the parallel? What's the application for me today? Here's the application. Me and you, we're just like Gomer. We're just like Gomer. We've returned to our own vomit. We have tasted and seen of the goodness of God. We have come to God. We have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We've attended church, but we go back and we go back to our own vomit and we go back to our own addictions and we go back to this alcohol when it doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel right and I'm not getting my prayers answered. We go back and I'm feeling lonely. We go back and we have sex outside of marriage when things are not going the way we want. We've returned to our old life. We have played the part of Gomer. We're just like the nation of Israel. We've chosen selfishness. We've chosen untruth over truth. We've turned, all of us at some point have turned our backs on the very God that gave us everything. We've chased our own feelings. We've sought our own pleasure. We've thrown away everything on a cheap thrill. Some of us have acted in that self-righteousness like I talked about. Some of us come in here today and we think we're better because we haven't done that or we haven't made this kind of sin or we haven't went that far. The Bible said sin is sin and all sin separates us from God and the wages of sin are death, so none of us can act more righteous than anybody else because there is only one thing that makes any of us righteous and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Many of us, can I be real with y'all as I get ready to close? Many of us came in here today, and we felt like Gomer felt on that block that day. Used up. No good. Worn out. No value at all. We're so full of guilt. We're so full of condemnation. We have no self-worth, and we have no self-value. We feel like that we've made a mess, and we've screwed it up, and it can't be fixed. But I'm going to tell you something today. Here's the good news. Are you ready for the good news? Can I hear an amen? Much like Hosea loved Gomer, much like Hosea sought after and chased her down, much like in spite of her mistakes and her sin and all of that, much like Hosea bought her back, I want you to know something today. God loves us, and God has chased us down, and God doesn't just love the good version of you right now, and God doesn't love a greater version that you're going to become. While we were yet sinners, while we were playing the part of a whore, he chased us down, and he bought us back from the hands of the enemy, and he bought us back from the hands of sin, and he didn't buy us back with barley, and he didn't buy us back with the dirty American dollar. He bought us back with the precious blood of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. He didn't call us unworthy. He grabbed us up and said, I'm a good, good father, and now you're my sons and my daughters. That's what God went to the auction block for you, John. God went to the auction block for you, Horn. God went to the auction block for you, Ken. God went to the auction block for you, Abby. He went to the auction block for you, Clay. And he threw his hand up and said, that is my child, and I am not going to stop. No matter how high the bidding gets, I'll give the greatest thing I got. And he bought us back. Good God. From the hands of the enemy. He forgave us. He cleansed us. He redeemed us. He made us new. He picked us up out of the miry clay and he set our feet on the rock of Jesus Christ to stay. If you can't get excited about that, I mean, I'm thankful that God's a good God, and I'm thankful that God has good plans for us, and I'm thankful that my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory, and I'm thankful that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and I'm thankful that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. But I'm going to tell you what, those things are not the things that get me happy, and those things are not the things that make me want to shout, and those things are not the things why I get up and preach week after week. I'll tell you, there's one thing that motivates me, and there's one thing that fires me up, and at the end of the day, when this old body plays out, at the end of the day, when my days are no more, listen, baby, I'm on my way to heaven shouting victory because I belong to Jesus Christ, and we need to get back to a place in our life where we say, I don't need nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. That puts life in perspective right there. He didn't buy us back with money or grain. He bought us back with the blood of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. When Hosea bought Gomer, it cost him something. When God bought Cody, it cost him something. It may not have cost you, and it may not have cost me, but it cost God the Father, the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood, we are now his children. We are now his bride. We now have his name. We now have been redeemed. Our debts are paid in full. Look at me. Look. Stop trying to work your way out of your mistakes. And stop trying to work to make yourself be worthy. Stop. Forget about it. Your past is over. It is paid in full. You are not identified with your sins in the past. You are identified with the blood of Jesus Christ right now. You have been forgiven. Your debts are canceled, paid in full. What can wash away my sins? Not my works, not my efforts, not the money I put in the plate, not how many good deeds I've done. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. God has bought you, or God is standing on the place today, and he wants to buy you right now. Change your life forever. Conrad, y'all come. Help me close, please. We have a chance today, a brand new opportunity, and a brand new chance to say, you know what? No more excuses. After all God has done for me, after all he has redeemed me, I'm done making excuses. I'm done. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, because I want to ask you something today. If you're here today and you don't belong to Jesus, if you're here today and you've just made your way to church to visit a little bit, maybe some friends invited you here. If you come in here today weary, worn, and tattered, worn out, beat down, used up, full of guilt and unworthiness and condemnation, I'm going to tell you something today. Christ sees you for who you are, not for what you've done. And he wants to purchase you, buy you out of that sin, redeem you, make you a new creation in Christ Jesus, and love you and welcome you into his family. If you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, and you know it and it's eating you up, but you say, today, I want a God like that to buy me and to forgive me of all of my sins and make me new, and promise me eternal home in heaven. If you've never made a decision, no excuses, but you say, I want to make that decision today, would you raise your hand right now? Okay, God bless you. God bless you. For those of you that raise your hand, we encourage you to come talk to me after church. Come talk to David Hager. David, stand up down here and let him see you. David Hager, talk to Connor. To the rest of you, here's the bottom line. God has plans to use you. I hope that you see in this story, through Hosea's obedience and through his sacrifice, everything around him was changed. The nation saw this and they returned back to God. So what you do matters. Never think what you do has no effect. What you do and the choices you make and how you live affect not only you, but everyone around you. Sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we screw it up, but let's don't continue to do that and continue to make excuses. There's forgiveness, there's redemption through Christ. Live, not in the past, but in the right now. Forget what is behind and reach to what is ahead, and live a life of no excuses. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, and we thank you for each and every person that's in this room, Lord. I pray that you speak to them in the closing moments of this service. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, move in this place. We just thank you for all you've done for us. Let us have a new awareness of what it cost to become a child of God. In Jesus' name.